Please come and give us the word of the Lord.
Good morning. You know, the sign says, welcome to your new day. And, you know, sometimes I we hear these words and we hear, you know, this is your new day. And sometimes in my own mind, I go, I haven't ever heard that. You know, I've been a Christian. I got saved April 4th, 1974. That was 44 years ago on the 4th. So I've been around a long time. And so I've heard this is your new day. But in the last season of my life here, in this last winter season, God has really been speaking to me about my new day. And you know that this is a new day. You know, we celebrated Easter last Sunday. We celebrated the resurrection of Christ. That's where we live as Christians. We live in the resurrection. So many times as Christians, we kind of get stuck at the cross. You know, and Jesus did need to die and suffer and lay himself down. But we also have to remember that he was resurrected into newness of life and that he gave that to us. And the word says that his mercies are new every morning. Think about that for just a minute. His mercies are new every morning. That means every morning I have a new start. His mercies are new every morning. The Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will be glad and rejoice in it this day. So I don't know, just close your eyes and say, this is my new day. This is a good day. This is my new day, and it's a really, really good day. Because he resurrected. Just let that, I thought it was really interesting this morning with worship. Because we didn't really go into praise. We went straight into worship. Excuse me. And God has really been speaking to me in the realms of coming into a realm of rest and hearing. And if we were here last Sunday, Pastor Jake said, did you get it? Did you get it? But I'd like to say, did you hear it? Did you get it? What God is speaking and what is he saying, sometimes we have to shut everything else off. Which is really hard because of this. We used to just have a phone hooked on our wall and people could only get a hold of us if we were there. But now this thing is attached to us. And it's not only, you know, people can call and they can text and they can message us, but you know, our phone beeps for every Facebook post of every friend of mine. My little daycare kids go, your phone's beeping again. I mean, sometimes you just have to say, and get quiet. We live in such a busy, stressful time that we deliberately have to say sometimes to ourselves, I need to get quiet. I just need to get quiet. And I thought this morning, the worship was so intimate. If you really, really heard the words and what God was saying this morning through worship was, he loves you. He has a plan for you. He has good things for you. He has a really, really good day for you. Today is a really, really good day for you. Maybe yesterday I messed up. Maybe yesterday I got frustrated. I'm a daycare provider of 8 kids. I know what frustration can be. I know what transition with 8 kids is from lunch to nap time. It's like chaos. I know what that is. But boy, when I get them all settled in, you know, And I thought today God was just settling us in. Did you feel that? Did you feel the love of God? I did. And you know, it doesn't matter. Yesterday's over. I may be sinned. I may be messed up. Yes, I had to repent. I have to leave it behind me, but yesterday's over. Today is the new day. Today. God gives me today. You know, I heard someone say, and I'm not even really sure who it is, but he said, if you live in depression, you're in the past. If you're depressed and you're struggling with depression, you're in the past. You're stuck. If you live in anxiety, you're in the future. But if you live in today, then you should live in peace. Today should be peaceful. Because our Father said, what did he say? He said he supplies all our needs for today. If we go into the Word, he says, yeah, the birds aren't worried about it. If I have everything I need for today, I can live in peace today. You know, God doesn't want us worrying about tomorrow. He doesn't want us living in the past. So he kind of rebuked me about the sign, Pastor Jake. Today is your new day. Because I kind of just let it go. But I think it's something we really need to embrace. That his mercies are new. That today he loves us. Today he cares about us. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of our lives. Doesn't matter if I messed up, sinned, and fallen short of the glory of God yesterday. He forgives me. And when he forgives me, he forgets it. What does the word say? He casts it as far from the east as to the west, as far away. But we don't always think that way. We don't. We live in guilt and shame and unworthiness and think, oh my God, how could God ever use me? You know, we do. That's sometimes our mind gets programmed in that and we live in those thoughts. They say how many thoughts we think in a day. And, you know, they say the majority of the thoughts that we think are negative. So in this season, in my life, I've been thinking about these thoughts and thinking, maybe I need to change some of those thoughts. And that's what we call game changers. You know, we hear a lot about game changers. What is game changers? It's just having a different thought, having a new thought, thinking differently, thinking about the Word. When Sandy asked me if I would share today, I was, yes, I want to. But God has been sharing so many things with me. I was like, oh my God, last night I was just like, ah, my mind was everywhere. And then I got to talk to Pastor Jim. Jim says hi. He's in Texas enjoying 90-degree weather. Everybody's like, oh, I feel bad for him. Every night it's like 75. He's sitting out on the porch just enjoying it. And I tell him, well, we're almost close to minus. I said, well, we're probably 80 degrees colder than you are right now. Anyway, last Friday so I'm talking to him last night. I go, okay, I'm preaching, but my mind is racing. God has spoken so many different things to me that I need to sort this out and make sense of it. And I said, well, what do you think? And he just shared one thing, and I really want to say it, and it's actually a prophetic word that I really believe the Lord has spoken to him, and it's for today. You know, we've been really talking a lot about our prophetic words and hearing those words and believing those words and walking in those words, but Pastor Jim was walking with the cross. He walked with the cross last Friday, on Good Friday, all through Zapata. And he said he made a corner, and God said, this is my season of visitation for this generation. So I want to say to you that this is your season of visitation. And that's why I think even the intimacy of worship was so so awesome, because those are the things that usher in our seasons. But he said, God had said to him, I don't want them to miss their season. So, God, we don't want to miss our seasons, do we? We don't. I came out here yesterday and I started reading all the prophetic words. I just felt I needed to do that. And one of the words really stuck out to me, and it said, I'm not sure which one it is even, where it's at, but it said, where is the God of Elisha? But it came back, it says, now where are the Elishas and the Elishas and the Daniels and the Davids? Where are they? That was the prophetic word. It says, we're asking, where's the God of Elisha? You know, I'm struggling here. I'm sick. I'm struggling in my life. And God, where are you? But in that prophetic word, it says, where are my Elishas and my Daniels and my Esthers and my Ruths and my Rachels and my Leahs? Where are they? And it just so struck me when I was reading that yesterday. And then when Pastor Jim said, don't miss your visitation, every one of them had a visitation from God. We look at Moses to the burning bush. You know, Moses could have missed his visitation, but it said he turned aside and looked. But Moses could have kept on with his life, his routine, and he could have missed it. Gideon in the wine press, you know, God visited him there. He was in a tough place. So I say all this is that in the Word of God, it talks about before the foundations of the earth, God knew you. It says it in Psalms 139, that God knew you before you were born. I want to just read it. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. I'll just sip over there really fast. Where's Daniel? Daniel, where are you? It's probably this way. I can't find Daniel. Where's Daniel, you guys? Oh, I found it. I just want to read Daniel 7. It would clarify something here. Daniel 7, I'm going to read verse 10, but I'm going to maybe read just a little up. It says, and as I looked, it's talking about the Ancient of Days, and it says, as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothes were as white as snow, and his hair on his head was like pure wool. And his throne was a fierce flame, and its wheels were burning with fire. And a stream of fire issued and came out from before him. And thousands upon thousands served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were open. So in Daniel, he's talking about in heaven, there's a court. And in that court is where the books are open. The court sat in judgment and the books were open. Now let's go to Isaiah 29. There's a courtroom in heaven. Think about that. When Jesus taught about prayer, oh, Hadassah. She says, that's Mary. I love her. I hear her voice and I just have to be loud. Isn't she cute? She's in my daycare. She loves me. Sidetracked. In Luke, Jesus taught three things. He taught when we pray that we either pray to the Father in Luke 11, or we pray to Jesus' friend. And then in Luke 18, he talked about prayer being the unjust judge, the widow going to the unjust judge. So he likened prayer to three dimensions. The Father, our friend, and then the judge. So when I read Daniel, I want you to think about God as our judge. Not in a bad way, in a really good way. Because it said if we continued to come to him, that unjust judge answered her prayers. So there's realms of prayer that are different. And so today maybe sometime we can teach on it, but today I want to just talk about it said that the books were open in the court of heaven. Okay? So, what opens your book? How do we know what's in our book? How do we get our books open so we know that we're on the right path, that we are being led and guided? And we talk about prophetic all the time, and I believe that the prophetic is such an avenue to get insight into what God is saying to us. And sometimes we can miss it. I gotta go. Isaiah. Isaiah 29:11. If you got it, I'm gonna read it. And the vision is of this has become to you like the word of a book that is sealed. When men give it to one who can read, says, read this. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. And when they give the book to one who cannot read it, read this, he says. And he says, I cannot. And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. So what this is saying is the book is sealed. If your book is sealed, if you're really struggling and you really don't know purpose in your life, and here it says, even people that could read couldn't read it because it was sealed. And so if our book is sealed, I don't know, how are we going to get it unsealed? It said here, they draw near with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are not. Their hearts are far from me. So if false worship, if just going through the motions of worship can keep our book sealed, then I believe true worship, what we entered into this morning, can open our book. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that when we enter in, that's why the prophetic, do you notice when we get into a realm of the spirit in the corporate and the true worship is really going, all of a sudden you start hearing the voice of God. You start getting words. You start hearing things. You start understanding what God's doing. You speak prophetically into the house. You speak prophetically into people's hearts and lives. Is true worship do that? Has it ever happened to you? You know, you come into church and all of a sudden you get into worship and all of a sudden you just feel the stirring. God is saying something to you and you know it's for the house or it's, you know. So we have to understand that not only people have books. I believe we all have books, but I believe this church has a book. I believe the city of Thief River has a book. I believe the state of Minnesota has a book. I believe the United States of America has a book with a destiny and a plan. I believe that this church, I went around and read, has a destiny and a plan. It has a book. What opens the book for this church? What opens your book? What makes you hear is when we enter into true worship. Can we come in here and draw near with our mouth and honor with our lips, but our hearts are in another place? Can we do that? Can we? I think God is challenging us. If we're part of community church, where's our heart? Our heart is here. I was holding my granddaughter this morning. I love holding babies. I hold little Odessa all the time. And I just sometimes hold them and I squeeze them even tighter and I just say, God, what's your heart for this little child? Abby this morning, she loves to snuggle with grandma. What is your heart? What is your heart for this? You know, what is your purpose? As a grandma, I want to see them fulfill their purposes. I want to fulfill my purpose. But if my heart isn't there, if my heart isn't for community church and these prophetic words, what God is saying, if my heart isn't being drawn to God in pure worship for God, what's in my book? I want to know what's in my book. I believe that as we enter into, you know, pure worship, that's when our book, that's when we start getting revelation. That's when the prophetic starts speaking into our lives. And it starts making sense. Our life starts making sense. I also believe in our book there's chapters and there's seasons and times in our book. And sometimes God puts a period on that chapter and he turns the page and says, I'm starting a new chapter. I believe that's what resurrection is about. You know, it said up on the screen, it said, why are you looking for the living? He said to Martha, the angel said to Martha, why are you looking for the living amongst the dead? Sometimes we get so stuck that we're stuck in the past and struggles and whatever. And sometimes God just said, put a period on that. I'm closing that chapter. That chapter's over. Let's find out what's in the next chapter for you. And I don't care if you're Adasa's age. Or Jamie's age, or my age. My book isn't complete. I don't think there's a retirement in this, Danny. There's no retirement in this. I think that's good. Maybe there will be a period put on what I'm doing right now. And God is calling me to a new chapter of what he wants. But that doesn't mean my life's over. It's not over until it's over. So I believe that if you want your book open, if you want to know what God has for you in this season, in this time, then I think you need to become a worshiper like never before. There's a few things I'm really zealous about, and I've always been zealous about praise and worship. Always. And And sometimes the enemy wants to get us where he keeps our hands down, keeps us caught up in yesterday or junk or whatever, and not get our hearts in pure worship to him. And we felt it this morning. I don't know, did you feel the love of God this morning? Wow, I did. I mean, if there's a question that God doesn't love you, man, this morning you should have just soaked that in. Anyway, I want to go. I better hurry. Let's go to, I believe also there's the timing of God. I think there's timings in our life. Timings in our book. Let's go to Revelation 22:10. I'm going to get through this fast here. I just want to give you some scripture bases on this so you know that you have a book, you have a scroll. A scroll even sounds better than a book. Sounds really. 22:10. He said, okay. And he said to me, do not seal up the words of the prophecy of the book, for the time is near. He said, the time is near. There's timings. Do you know that some of these words I was reading, some of them were prophesied in 2006, but the timing was 2018. The timing of God. We have to know the timing of God. Sometimes, you know, some of us have had words that were given to us when we were, you know, maybe 20 years ago. And you haven't still seen them fulfilled. That does not mean that God is not going to fulfill them in your life. The timing of God. I believe this church, we understand that. We need to understand the timing of what God's doing. These schools of the supernatural, it's time. We are a training center. If you're here, it's because you're hungry for God. You're hungry for God. You're hungry for God to use you. You're hungry for the purpose of God. You're hungry to be pushed into that next thing in God. And the schools of the supernatural is just part of that. We had a Bible school that went on for how many years? 13 years. We trained a lot of people. Boy, what's going on? Power. Atmosphere. But there's timing. We have to understand. Sometimes it's not for right now. It's maybe for a season ahead. So understand the timing. Sometimes the book is... It's in a chapter ahead. You have to know the timing. Timing in our lives. Otherwise, we can get frustrated and say, well, I've had that word again. You know, how many times have they prophesied that over me? Never coming to pass. Maybe the timing isn't quite right. Maybe God's preparing you. He prepares us. I believe every day he prepares us. If we're open to him and if we're moving in the realms of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding. And maybe you're not quite ready for it. But he knows that. He's not going to put you out there. It's like us. I mean, I'm a daycare provider. I'm not going to give Adasa scissors. There's timing. There's a timing. I ain't gonna give that little girl something dangerous. But no, you know, when they're 4 and 5, you know, there's kids' safety scissors we can give them. I don't give them my sharp sewing scissors. There's timing. But God knows where we're at. I want to say, he loves you and he knows where you're at. And we have to trust in the timing of God. And one more thing that I think opens our book. Let's go to Revelations 5:12. I'm going to start in verse 5:2. And I saw a mighty angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seal?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth were able to open the scrolls or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said unto me, "Weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, so that he can open the scrolls and its seven seals." So I also believe that here, what happened in heaven? This is in heaven, Revelations. And the books were sealed, the scrolls were sealed, and there was nobody worthy to open it, it said. And John started to weep. There was a weeping in his spirit. There was an intercession that went on in John. And in the intercession, and through the weeping, Jesus came and he opened the book. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll. So I believe that one of another key, true worship, timing, and intercession. I believe that through intercession, how bad do you want it? How bad do you want what God has for you, his purpose and plan for you, what him and you decided from the foundations of the world, which maybe blows your mind. You decided. How bad do you want it? Are you willing to weep and cry out to God and say, "God, I want it bad. I want a bat." I don't know who raised their hand to go to Africa. Josh. Josh, don't run away. I wonder if it's in his book to go to Africa. I did. Anytime there's a mission trip, there's something that stirs in me. I know God has called me to travel. I know he's called me to teach. I know he's called me as an intercessor for the nations. I know that. I have gone to nations. I think I've gone to 7. I'm not right up there with Dave Wagner. I think, how many? Lord, help me. Traveling, when I hear somebody went on a trip like Tom and John, I'm like, "Oh God, take me with." I mean, let's go. But of course there's timing. And how bad do I want it, Jake? Weeping and crying, interceding for that. I think it's understanding in intercession. I mean, we are all called to intercede, and we're all called to pray for ourselves and for our loved ones and for the body of Christ and for our community and our church, and we're called to intercede. But when we get that passion, that burden, that weeping, that also opens our book. It shows our heart. What do you cry about? What makes you cry? Have you ever thought about that? What makes you cry? For me, most of you know me, kids without Christmas gifts make me want to cry. That's in my book. Kids that are been left without, that makes me cry. What makes you cry? What touches your heart when you're in prayer? What What stirs your spirit that's just another avenue that helps you understand what's in your book? Dan and Joan started the House of Prayer. They believe in Thief River Falls, that this city has a book. This city has a purpose. I think about this city. This city's been touched with revival. If we historied it out, I'm not sure how many times, but I know that when Miracle House, when Sarah's father and Ollie and them started Miracle House, there was a mighty revival in young people. The city had a revival. I was part of it. I got saved in that revival. I got filled with the Holy Spirit in that revival. I think Sarah's dad was in the room when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. There was just an outpouring of a Spirit of God on a generation. We've had visitations here that have been mighty. If you haven't had a visitation of God, just hunger and thirst for it. Because there were times when, Jim and I were kind of talking about it, where there was such a passion and zeal for the presence of God to touch our lives. And we knew we needed it. We needed it. And God visited us. There was a visitation. Don't miss your visitation. How do you get your visitation? You seek a visitation. Sometimes you have to seek and cry for a visitation. God, I can't do this without you. I can't make my own. It's kind of like we can cry out, God, where's the God of Elijah? Where's the God of Elijah? I need healing. I need this. I need that. But really what God is saying, there's a visitation. God comes in. It's in us. That life of God is in us. And when we get that in us and we let that explode on the outside, that's what true revival is we release the presence of God. So when we walk into an area or a room, we shift the atmosphere. The atmosphere doesn't come over us and bring us down. We shift it because of what's in us, the life that's in us. And that's all part of knowing our book and knowing what we're called to do. And I just challenge you today that every one of you has a book. Every one of you has a plan and a purpose, a destiny that is good. And God's not hiding it from us. He's not. He wants you to fulfill it. He wants you to touch it. That's why we do the School of the Supernatural. That was Dave was here. It wasn't hard, was it? It was just the presence of God. Dave just told story after story. Presence of God. What God has done. Powerful. Visitation after visitation. I don't believe we can. I think a visitation we can live off for a while. But I don't think we can live off a 20-year visitation. I don't even know if we can live off last week's visitation. I think we need a visitation. So this morning, I just want to encourage you that you are special to Him. He died and rose again to bring you and to instill a spiritual force within you that is called life, and life more abundantly. And as we tap into what God has purposed for our lives, it's good. How bad do you want it? I think because you're here, you want it bad. I really do. I do believe that with all my heart, that you have a desire. Sometimes we don't know how to get there. There's a place. It's the courts of heaven. That's where we go. There's another verse, and it says, I think it's in Isaiah, it says, put me in remembrance. Isaiah's talking to God, and he said, I'm putting it in remembrance. God, do you remember? This is what you said. Sometimes we have to say, God, I don't feel it right now, but put me in remembrance. God, you said this. That's intercession. That's prayer. That's coming to God. Don't forget me, God. I have a plan. God has a plan for you. Put me in remembrance. God, help me. Help me know what it is. If I'm to write a song, God, bring that song to me. Open that book. If I'm supposed to go to Africa, then God, let me know that that's in my book. If I'm an intercessor for the house of God, help me see what God is doing in the house. So I just want to challenge you today that what this house is doing through our schools, what God is equipping us for that timing, for that purpose, for what he has for us. You know, the word is so important. The word holds all the answers. Every question you have, every problem you have, every situation that is difficult, it's all in here. Tells us how to walk it. God leads us and guides us. And that is part of what God is doing in our lives. He's leading us and guiding us. Let's just bow our heads. I just wanna end this with, Father, I thank you that each person that's in this house today hearing my voice has a destiny, has a book in heaven. And Father, we just ask that the books will be opened and that you will reveal the secrets in that book. God, that we know what season we're in. God, the timing that we're in. Father, we pray and we desire. We hunger and thirst after knowing what is in our book. And God, we are willing to worship you until we know. We're willing to wait on you until we know. We are willing to weep and intercede until we know, Father. Father, our hearts are to fulfill your purpose, to come to your courtroom and know, God, what you've spoken to us. Father, we thank you that this is a house of prophetic. This house is a house of worship. This is a house that hears the voice of God. And God, we do not want to miss our visitation in this season. And God, I pray that no one would miss their visitation. God, I thank you that you are a good, good God, and you have good, good, good things for each one of us. God, and in that book is a love that is so great, that is so unconditional. It doesn't matter. Yesterday doesn't matter. Today matters. What's in our book today is what matters. God, you said your mercies are new every day. And God, we just close the chapters of the last seasons in our lives, the past of our lives, and God, we just look to the future. We look to what you have for today. Don't let us miss what you have for us today, Father. Don't let us not feel your love for today, your kindness, your generosity, your unconditional love for us as a father. Lord, we thank you for this house. We thank you for the purpose and the call and the destiny of this house, to equip and train people into the things of God, to marshal the army and train them up for this next season of time. Father, we lift up the school of the supernatural. We lift up what God you are doing in this house, Father. And Lord, we lift up the people that God is calling in to train and teach us, God. I understand, God, that you train special forces, and I believe there's special forces that are being trained in this house. I believe that with all my heart, God, that you are training special forces to go out into the world and rescue people. And Father, I just pray today that you would stir our hearts and speak to our hearts, that we would not miss our visitation in this hour. In Jesus' name. And we all said, amen.
Thank you, Mary. I appreciate that. So powerful. You know, the Bible is a pretty large book. But if you're seeking God, a good chance he'll talk to you. And this morning I got up. There was a book that I had in the library. So I got up and I went there. And of course, I didn't put my glasses on, so I had to go get my glasses because I couldn't read the title of the book, and I got into that book and talked about Daniel, and in the last days that this book will be opened. And so I'm going, you know, I didn't talk with Mary before this. Last night, I don't know if I could have talked to Mary and got much out of her as she was had so much stuff going. But you know, the Holy Spirit knows what's going on, and he is the administrator of the move of God. And he only administrates what Jesus tells him to do. The Holy Spirit doesn't, you know, just, he hears Jesus, the prophetic voice, and he begins to do that. And this morning, I kind of had a free day, you know. Mary was preaching, and I'm going, but you know what? God just wants to place that in you, that he speaks to you. And that visitation stuff and all the stuff, you know, did you catch it? Probably not. I couldn't catch all of that. But, you know, like when you get a prophetic word, think about this. It begins right there. And what you think, like Mary was talking about, if you blow it one day, that's not blowing it isn't the big deal. It's getting it in your mind and starts talking to your mind. You know, I know a lot of people that would want to get out of their situations because they think they're ungodly. But in their mind, they're thinking about God. And they're thinking about, and so God's always bringing you to a place and always bringing. You know, my first word that I received prophetically, he said in 1 year's time, okay, so it was, I was on a slippery rock and I was falling down on a slippery rock, but then he said, within 1 year's time, you will be solid on the rock. And I contribute that to a person, a time, but the fact is the time started right when I received the word. You know, he was doing something from the very second I received the word. He was doing something and bringing me to that time. And that's pretty important. You know, how many seconds, how many minutes, how many times he said something, and you might be all messed up and been messed up, but in your mind's eye, God is always working. And I think when Mary was talking about that book being written about you, it's what you're really thinking about God. And sometimes you might not look so zealous or, you know, so promising for a visitation just in your own mind, but what is God saying to you? And so when you leave this place, I believe that God has your number. And you're going to catch it. You have to fight God pretty hard not to catch it. Because he'll find you. He'll hunt you down. You know, the hounds of heaven will find you somewhere and hunt you down and continue to speak to you. Father, we release the deliverance power of God Almighty in this room. And when the people leave this place, we ask, Lord, the process continues, because it's a process. It's not a 1 second deal or a 5 minute deal. It's a process. Father, I ask, Lord, the process of God goes with them. And we thank you, Lord, for the word today. It wasn't shouting and screaming and running on the back of the chairs. Thank God. I think I could do that. But it was about the process of God, and we're in process. God bless you. May you go with the strength and the power of Christ. If you're needing prayer, please come and receive that. And if not, have a wonderful, wonderful week in Jesus Christ. Thank you so very much for, you know, being sensitive to what God's saying. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you. You're dismissed. All right. Again, if you're wanting to, where did you put that last? Is it back on the table? Okay. And if you didn't sign up and you're wanting to, if the Lord's speaking to you, like I said, I think it's going to be a life-changing event. That's